This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show here at KWAI, 1080 on your dial. If you like to call in today, I give this number early, 524-1080. Yet another beautiful day here in Honolulu. Just absolutely stunning. And what we're going to be doing today is talking about a situation that we all probably would be offended by, or should be anyway. I'll go out on a limb and say that you should be offended. How you like that? But what this involves is a residential of an apartment building situated in Kalihi, and it is located at 1731 Home Rule Road. And this community or this building houses a number of people. Some are in wheelchairs, confined to wheelchairs, children as young as 3 months. There are eight families, and it's a two-story building. But that is not the problem that they're living there. The problem is immediately next to it is situated a auto body shop. And this community of these people have, for some while now, for 2 years at least, complained to the state officials, city officials, and their state senator and city councilman, Romy Cocciola and Suzanne Chan Oakland. And what happened here, folks, is that these people fell through the crack, as many of us do. We are all subjected nowadays to a government that seems to be that the way they handle our affairs, we shouldn't have to ask them to do what's right anyway. That's the first step. A good government would address these issues and follow its fiduciary and other legal responsibilities, statutory responsibilities. But they're not doing that. The community of these people at this house or this apartment building complained that there was overspray, complained about fumes, and it went nowhere. They contacted their senator, Suzanne Chan Oakland, and who received a, she in turn wrote to Dr. Chiomi Fukino, and this was done. She writes to ask Fukino to look into it, and in turn she's done her job. And that's the problem. All of our legislators and our city councilmen and what have you, it seems that when you call them up, they're happy to rubber stamp a letter and send it out, and that's where it falls through the crack. The state writes her back. Just as an example, the Department of Health Clean Air Branch conducted an investigation on September 7th and 18th, 2007. At the time of the investigation, there were no vehicles being painted, and therefore the CAB, the Clean Air Branch Inspector, did not detect any odors in the area. And that's basically what this thing is built around. Government agencies only going through the motions, and everybody, Chan Oakland writes a letter, so she's done her part. The state health department goes over, they've done their part. The city gets involved, who handles the zoning and about buildings and the types of variances and what is allowed in certain areas or what type of zoning. This is an I-2, industrial mixed zone. But earlier, it was a mixed zone, residential and what have you, that permitted the apartment building. So you might ask, how do we get to this point? Well, they rezoned it, and now it's permitting body shops and everything else. And so there should be some effort to be considered when you situate a place, a body shop, right next door to an apartment building. And the city's response was, this is a response to your letter dated September 28th. This is to Dr. Chiomi. from the city. By copy of this letter, we will be forwarding your letter to the Honolulu Fire Department that this matter pertains to issues relating to fire code. Now, what we have found, and that was so far from the truth on the part of Mr. Henry Ng under this new administration in the city. The reality is this facility, Capital Auto Body, that's operating, we're informed by the DPP that they got a building permit in August of 2006 to construct that facility and put in a spray booth and what have you. The problem is they're really, as we're informed by the city, they're really not operating legally because they did not complete their building permit. They have electrical issues. So therefore, this whole process should have been stopped. He should have been shut down, but none of that happened. So this poor community of this housing complex is having to suffer and endure. And we visited that area. It's a very sad situation, and it is the perfect example of what our government will do for those that have little or nothing, or the unfortunate, the children, for example, three-month-old children, 5 years old, people in wheelchairs, as I said, seniors. And it's just absolutely a sad sight to see. And we're going to get into that, and I'm going to have a number of the tenants there and residents in that building. And I want to do this, and I'm not going, this is not orchestrated. This is, we're going to stumble and fumble, but my concern is that I want to show that what we as people in this community, we need to hold our government accountable and not just complain about it and not just be paranoid and go around saying our government isn't working. Here's a perfect example. So having said all of that, we're going to open the phones up. And right now I have, is it Marilyn?
Yes, this is Marilyn.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
You are, you a resident?
Yes, I am a resident.
And if you would, tell the listeners out there, share with them what it is that you have experienced and how long you've been there. I would appreciate if you could do that and give them a little background.
Yes, I think we're here since 2007, about the later part. And since they moved in and they started to paint their vehicles, what they bring in, the smell is coming over to our end, and then we catch it. All that toxic smell just goes in the house, and we have hard time on the smell. And when we eat, the smell is here with us in the apartment, and it's very bad. Also, there's a lot of particles. When you look outside towards the sun, you see all that small particles of the paint flying over to the building, and we breathe all that in every day they paint.
I see. Now, how long, to your knowledge, that this facility, this paint facility, has been there? When did it come?
I'm not too sure on it. Mary, Jamie would have known more when they moved into here. How long?
But in the last 2 years, 3 years, or and how long have you lived?
In about the last 2 years or three, they've been doing that. And we always tell them, you know, we're getting the smell. And he said, no, this is industrial.
Okay, because they're telling you the zone is industrial, right?
Yeah, the zone is industrial. I said, yeah, but at least, you know, do something about the paint spray that's coming over and that smell.
How long have you lived there?
I moved here 2006, about the later part.
Okay. And so would you say that you smell or see this on an average?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Is that included?
The only time he doesn't work is Saturdays and Sundays.
I see. And so what are you experiencing, fumes as well, or do you, when you say smell, is it?
It's the fume of the paint that we smell in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if we're outside washing clothes and hanging, you can smell it real strong.
I see. Well, let me ask you this. Did you, were you contacted by the state, or have you contacted any state official or government official?
Well, I called the state about the smell, and they came down, and they told me that they did talk to him. And then also I called about the water that's going out, you know, when they sandpaper the car, and then all that fine particles all go down in the drain, down to the water drain on the end, goes down the road. And you can see it on the outside.
And it's running down the drain in the street.
Running down the drain, and I called Clean Air and Clean Water.
I see.
They didn't do anything about it.
They just came out and noticed
it,
huh?
Came out and checked, talked to him, and that was it.
I see. Well, we're going to see what we can do to try and get some response. What would you like to? Would you like to have a response and your city council and your senator follow through on this?
I would appreciate it if they would.
Okay, well, I had spoken to Ms. Chan Oakland, and she acknowledged sending a letter, but, you know, we need more than just sending a letter.
And I called her, too, and I talked to her about it, too.
And this is 2 years now, and there's just been a bunch
and
of letters.
And in Cachola, too, the same thing.
Romy Cachola, city councilman?
Yes.
Has he gotten back to you?
No.
So, okay, well, we don't make promises here, and we don't promise results.
Yeah.
But what I can promise you that you have a partner here that's going to see this one through. And I think there's some relief down the line, and I think some of the listeners out there will share our concerns, and hopefully they will rally around this, because I have personally gone there, and I was able to walk about a half a block from the area and was able to smell fumes emanating or coming from that facility.
Yeah, because we go on the handyman to doctors, and they tell us, you folks can stand that smell coming from the paint shop.
And this is the handy van driver, huh?
Yes, the handy van driver.
Okay. Well, Marilyn, I got a couple other calls, but if you think of anything else before the show is over, give us a call back. And you know the number, 524-1080.
Okay.
And I promise you that we will stay on top of this one. I'm just really saddened, and I think listeners out there, if they saw... And you'll be able to see some of the pictures of the facility at carolcox.com in the coming days. So,
okay.
Well, thank you, and you take
thank
care,
you
and
much.
We'll be there. All righty. Hi, Jamie, are you there on the line?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
As you can hear, Marilyn, and do you reside at this apartment building?
Yes, I do.
And are you a resident as well, a manager? Who is the manager there?
Well, there's really no manager here.
Mm-hmm.
We just, everybody takes care of the property, you know.
I
help
see.
Out, that
I
kind
see.
Of thing.
Now, this facility, this paint facility, if you can give the listeners an idea, how close is this auto body shop situated to your apartment building?
It's about 20 feet.
About 20 feet. And, I mean, you have a two-story with an overhang, correct? I was there and looking at it.
Yes.
And what I observed was a stack that somehow, for some reason, has been positioned that blows into your apartment in the complex there.
Yes.
And I spoke with the business on the opposite side, and they informed me that they were getting overspray and heavy smells, and they approached the business owner, and he repositioned it to turn it into your direction. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's correct. It was facing the property. Z-Tech is an auto mechanic shop.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the heavy overspray and the odor, they kept complaining to the city as well as the owner of the body shop, paint shop,
mm-hmm.
about the odor. So he retained services from a contractor, and he had the staff turned from the mechanic shop directly mm-hmm. towards our building.
I see. Now, just again, I've talked to Marilyn, and how long has the apartment building been there? I want to lay it out. How long has it been there, located there?
I think the apartment building has been here since 1955.
Okay, so you basically would have been grandfathered in, and it would have been a conforming use, and they've never ordered the building to be torn down, so obviously they acknowledge that it's legally situated. But so 1950s, when did this paint business come in?
I think the paint business came here October of 2006.
And that's when you started to have the problems, or?
That's when the problem began.
Mm-hmm.
See, we didn't really notice the problem because the stack, like I say, was facing the mechanic shop.
Right.
But as soon as the stack was turned and faced towards our apartment building, we've been having all of this problem, headache, nausea. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you personally talked to any of the state or city officials?
I had spoken with Jill from mm-hmm. Department of Health.
Okay.
About, you know, what's happening here at the building and the smell.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that when they were here visiting, they noticed no smell or anything because they weren't painting. Mm-hmm. When they're under investigation or they're being watched by the state or city, they will not paint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
we also have mm-hmm. spoke with Mr. Nakanishi, who is the owner of the paint shop.
That's Herbert.
Yes.
Okay.
And he told us that this is an industrial area. Get used to it or close your windows.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the smell, close your windows.
Wow.
I've been here since 1987.
Okay.
We never encountered a problem like this. There was a heavy equipment company that was leasing the property at that time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any kind of overspray or anything. You know, we could deal with the noise.
Right.
We can deal with whatever happens in this industrial area, but not that toxin paint.
And then these paints are new paints with the heavier gloss and all of that, and constituents of the greater concerns, and xylenes,
yes.
toluenes, and all. So if you would hold on, I have, is it Thuy? Thuy, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
Yes.
Thank you for help.
Oh, anytime. And I think that today you'll probably get a lot more help. There's a lot of good people out there listening, and so we hope to bring this to a close and relieve you folk of this bad situation. So you live there. Are you on the top or the bottom story level?
I got here from my tenant. I don't live in there.
Oh, you are the owner?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad you called in. Then, have you had problems, information from your tenants?
Yes, I had information, and I did call them about 2 years ago. I called the apartment upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and they told me they sent inspector inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Paul, but they say same thing like that.
Uh-huh.
And then you complain, and I don't know how to do.
I see. And in the state health department, did they return your call or talk
yes.
to you? They came out and inspect?
Yes.
And that was approximately 2 years ago, you say?
Yes.
Okay. And it was regarding this paint body shop?
Yes.
And there's a number of children that live there, and have anyone reported to you of children getting sick or any incidences of going to the hospital or doctor because of this?
No.
Not to you?
No.
So what have you've talked to Herbert Nakanishi, have you? Or the owner of the business?
I don't talk with them.
Oh, okay.
It's just about the Department of Health only.
I see.
Yes.
And have you talked to them?
I don't come there because my tenant can talk to them already.
I see.
And I think they talk better than me because I don't know how the bad person is there.
Right, right. I understand. You're not there on the property, so you wouldn't really know firsthand.
That's hard for me talking to them.
Right. But you are supporting your tenants and trying to get some relief. I understand. Well, thank you. I'm hoping that we can get something going here because, you know, they've been writing letters back and forth, and basically the agencies just dropped the ball on this one, and that is just simply not right. That is not their purpose in life or their existence.
Yes.
Well, thank you, and some of the tenants have our number, so please feel free to call me, and I'd like to meet with a couple of others, and we'll see if we can continue to pursue this and get some results. All righty? Well, thank you, Thuy.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Thank you for your help, and have a nice day.
All righty. Jamie, you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, as you can see, I think that's encouraging, because if you have the landlord and the property owner who is there working, clearly there's some problem. I saw one person that was confined to a wheelchair, and there was an older gentleman, there's a couple of senior citizens there, right?
Yeah.
And so some of them have poor health, right? Are they having problems? Have you known any of them, or children, or anyone having to go to the doctor?
Yes. We have some of the tenants that just couldn't take it anymore because their children were getting sick. They were having sinusitis and bronchitis, so that's why they didn't want to live here, and now they're moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on account of this body shop being here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to jeopardize their children's health being at risk.
Right. Now, I stopped in and talked to Herbert Nakanishi, and I was a little saddened by his reception, but, you know, we talked. The problem is that he equate this to, reduced it down to just one person complaining. And I tried to share with him that not only one person, there were several people. And not only that, that I personally was able to go down and smell and see. Now, I was going to ask you, did the state or the city inspectors ever come to that property and look at the window sills or leave any plate sample to see if there's overspray or anything? Did they do anything in that building?
They did nothing.
So, see, I spoke with Department of Health Clean Air Branch. And they told me, well, it's not normal that we go to the building that's complaining. We go to the building that they're complaining about, basically. Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, last Friday on the 26th, Department of Health was here again, and I met Terry Corpus, and we were talking outside in the parking lot, see, because I noticed him standing across the property looking at the staff, but at that time, the paint shop wasn't painting.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned to me that they're waiting for them to paint, and they mm-hmm. need to see or smell something, but right now there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute that Terry drove off, the wreckers ran out to the sidewalk, saw that the state vehicle was gone, and they turned on the paint boot and started painting.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is, I want to let the listeners know that I don't want to leave them confused here when we say the city and the state didn't do anything. Now, this flurry of activity that we are noting now, Terry's visit, this is Terry Carpoos from the Hazardous and Emergency, Environmental Emergency Response Office, it comes on only because we have actually called this office and called the state and the city and State Senator John Oakland and asked them, why did you drop the ball on this housing complex, on these people? What is it about them that say that they are not deserving of protection from your offices? And as a result, they're scampering now. But we shouldn't have to scamper or see our government in fast motion, you know.
Absolutely.
Just because we complain that they've dropped the ball. So Terry Carpoos, I'm sure, I know him. He'll go the extra mile to document and try and bring this to resolution. The Clean Air Branch, I'm still, the jury's out on that. What are they about? Because, you know, they say they don't normally go talk to the complainant. You know, they don't normally go and sample at the building or if there's a housing complex. And they say it's normally, well, the city allowed them to build it there, so therefore it's legal. But there are human beings there. There are little children. There are senior citizens. There are people with low immune deficiencies and on and on and on. And plus, they're just human beings, and nobody should be subjected to this nonsense, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I understand that and you can confirm this. This is what I heard secondhand. I wasn't there, but I understand that the state actually tried to go there the other day and was told to leave the property. Is that true, or is that just a rumor?
That is true. You mean leave our property?
No. The paint shop, the body shop. What do you know about that?
Well, I came in at the end when Terry was here,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I spoke with Terry.
Okay.
And we know that Mr. Nakanishi, meaning Herbert, he wants everybody to stay off of his property and just leave him alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, but was there an incident, was that fact or fiction that the state was there and he was asked to leave?
State was here, yes. As far as anyone saying that, I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. But if you, I'm looking for that to see. Apparently, some of the tenants there saw or overheard or saw something, and if I can get some proof of that,
okay.
You know, I don't want to sit here and make false allegations against Mr. Nakanishi or the business. You know, we only want to speak the truth and nothing like telling falsehoods to and then claiming to do good. But what else can you tell me about this? Romy Cocciola, has he sent anybody from his office to talk with you folks?
No one came from his office to speak with us. All I saw Mr. Cocciola was outside taking pictures.
He was taking them himself?
Yes.
Okay. And did he ever follow up or send a letter to you folks or anything or anybody you know?
To my knowledge, no.
Hmm. Well, this is one of the things I'm banking on. The immediate results is that there is no valid building permit. And so that you'll know, the building permit, the number that was given to me by the city is BLPR 602039, and I'm informed that that permit is not valid because there is some unfinished business relating to the electrical and the wiring of the booth. So how can they allow it to operate? And they should have long time ago, if you didn't, back in January, they were supposed to come along and have a meeting and finalize the electrical system, but they didn't do that. So basically, the facility is operating illegal.
That's here.
Yeah. So, what is there any days different than others? Is it when they're wind or if it's hot? Do you notice more smell or less smell? How does it go? Does it play out?
When there's wind, quicker the smell reaches our
mm-hmm.
windows.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't want to be at home at that time.
Are you?
We leave home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't be leaving home all the time. And we had one time, Mr. Nakanishi had told us to invest in air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, but who's going to pay the bill? Should we send it to the city
mm-hmm.
or state
mm-hmm.
or to him himself, you know?
Right. Well, so the listeners will know that I stopped in, spoke with Mr. Nakanishi, and gave him my card and told him that we would be doing something on the show here, and, you know, with an invitation that he could call in. But basically, he shared with me, and not mean-spirited, he wasn't, but he said that, well, maybe he should start suing the community for making these allegations against him. And so basically, all that I felt was needed was to set in some mitigating factors, better filters, changing the filters, or what have you, not seeking to shut down or cause harm to his business. But if we're unable to reach those agreements, then that presents a problem. Human health and human dignity is of greater concern than a pretty car, as far as I'm concerned. And so there's a young lady there that was, I'm told, was moving here recently. She's going to be moving out in the next couple of days.
Yes.
What's her status? Because of the fumes, or what was the...
Well, when she was pregnant, she she confronted Mr. Nakanishi and told him about, you know, the overspraying, that it's making her really nauseated and ill. So he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked her, maybe, you know, you could close your windows and not be here at that time,
mm-hmm.
or not be here at that time. But, you know, that didn't happen. And then she gave birth to her son. And since then, they have to go to the doctor every month because
mm-hmm.
they're always sick from the smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now they're moving by the end of this month because they just cannot take the smell.
Let me ask you this: what is it that housing the tenants in there want? Do you have an idea? So maybe we can state that. What are you looking to shut them down? Are you what are you looking for? And what type of resolution?
No, I'm not looking to shut him down. We just maybe he could get a new booth or. You know, do something with the staff. If it
mm-hmm.
was bothering the tenant on the opposite side, you know, the mechanic shop,
mm-hmm.
if it was bothering him so much, why would you turn it directly to a two-story apartment building?
Mm-hmm.
There's people that live there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That mm-hmm. didn't make sense.
Right.
We want him to correct the staff. I mm-hmm. don't know how he would do it, because I'm not an expert in that, but correct the problem.
Uh-huh.
The overspray that comes out of there is just horrendous. It's too much. We cannot take it. It's all over on our cars. He's not going to pay for the damages to the cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's on our clothes when we do laundry. It's on everything, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't care.
Right. Well, if you would hold on, I'm going to have to take a real quick break. And if you'd hold on, again, for your listeners, you can call in to 524-1080, the Carol Cox Show, here at KWAI. Thank you. Hold on.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA's smart driving tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution, like making sure your tires are properly inflated and replacing your air filter regularly. Oh, where possible, accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. And did you know that for every 5 miles you go over 65 miles per hour, you're spending about 20 cents more per gallon of gas? Also, if you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more tips and to compare cleaner, more efficient vehicles, visit www.epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Welcome back, and Jamie, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. If you hold on, I have Eve on the phone, but Eve, are you there?
There.
Okay. I got another caller that called in and suggested that you contact Mr. Rod Tam, chairman of the subcommunity on zoning, the subcommittee, I'm sorry, on zoning. And maybe I can assist you guys, or just that's City Councilman Rod Tam, and he is the chairman of that, and maybe we can ask to put that on agenda or something if you're interested. But go ahead, Eve.
Yes, I'm one of the tenants here at Homeroom Street.
Mm-hmm.
We live on the second floor and unit. I live with my dad and my mom.
Uh-huh.
And my 7-year-old boy.
I see.
And I did call the Department of Health twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me back and they said that they went to talk to the owner of that auto body shop. At first, they told me that the owner of the body shop is on nice man. That's the first thing they told me.
This is, who told you that? The state?
From the, yes, Department of Health.
Okay.
And he was easy to talk to, and he promised to them that he's going to do something about it.
Yeah. Turn your radio down just a little bit, Eve. If you're,
okay.
You're there? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Go ahead. So you contact the state, and you were calling to complain, and what you got was Mr. Nakanishi, the owner of the body shop, is a nice man?
Yes.
Is that what
he told me?
Is that what you were calling to? Were you calling to see if he was?
No, I told them that our problem
mm-hmm.
with the paint.
I see. And then what was the reception? Did they follow up or give you a phone call later?
Yes, mm-hmm. they did call me back, and they said that the owner of the auto body shop told them that he's going to do something about it.
I see. And did anything?
And that was months ago.
Months ago, huh?
Yes.
So nothing happened?
Nothing happened, sir.
So just, I'm not trying to patronize you, but just share with us, how does that make you feel? Do you've called your government seeking some solution. How does that make you feel?
Of course, I'm frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrated, disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even go to the back lanai.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even look at them anymore because I'm really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I do my laundry at night.
Mm-hmm. And you do your laundry at nighttime because...
Of course, yes, sir.
Why is it that you do your laundry at nighttime?
Because if I do it in the morning, daytime,
mm-hmm.
of course they're doing their painting. It's mm-hmm. all, they spray the paint, it's all good on our clothes.
Mm-hmm. And so are you finding any on your windowsills or internally, or have you found any evidence of dust or paint in the inside of the building or in your apartment?
Like what I said, I don't really go to the back windows anymore. I don't really pay attention anymore because I'm frustrated.
I see.
I hardly home, but I'm worried about my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, where I go all the time because I'm in sales, I go to McDonald's Limit just
right.
to hang out there.
Right.
To stay away from my home, but I'm entitled to stay home because we're paying the rent.
Yeah, and you should be free of any contaminants and...
Exactly.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier to earlier callers, we don't promise anything but results, but I'll promise you that we'll be here to help you and follow up.
Oh, I really appreciate that, sir.
All righty. Well, thank you again, Eve.
Thank you.
All righty. Jamie,
yeah.
I was able to obtain some pictures from that... were taken by the health department. These were taken in April of 4/15/08, and pictures of a stack taken from the home rule, and they show the filters. And what's interesting, see, the representation that was being made was that all the paint was being done, the spray painting activity was being done inside the booth. But the state had evidence and knowledge on 3/31/08 at 10:30 a.m. that they found, and here's what they say, picture shows where they spray primer on minor damages on auto body parts. This is located at the back left end of the shop. So right there is contrary to what they've been claiming. They've been running over saying and that they couldn't find them, couldn't catch them, right?
Yes, yes.
So here is a picture in their own files, the Clean Air Branch, that documents that they're not using the booth, and they're spraying in open air, and there's absolutely no filters, no fans, or nothing. And it's absolutely mind-boggling. And what this really is, it's an environmental justice issue. People low-income, and on and on and on, and people of color, people, it just, by definition, there is a federal definition of environmental justice, so it's not something that I'm phrasing or coining. Pokalani, good morning, are you there?
Yes, aloha, Carol.
Aloha.
Hi. I'm listening, this program is very interesting, and somehow I cannot separate my public policy mind from my legal mind. And my question is, has any of the residents seen an attorney to see if there was some judicial intervention that can come about? Because as I'm listening to the story, I'm seeing the practice of nuisances, violation of planning or building permitting. If he simply turns his staff in the opposite direction, that's an alteration to what the building permit had allowed. But I think by seeking legal assistance, they can try to move as quickly as possible into the courts, try to get an injunction to stop this activity from happening, and then proceed to determine whether or not they should be able to continue or not. So I'm just curious as to whether or not they had seen an attorney.
Right. Jamie, have you seen an attorney or anybody follow up looking for a legal assistance?
No.
Okay, no. You got any ideas or suggestions, Poker?
Well, it's I don't want to. I'm not looking for work or anything like that, and I wouldn't take the case because I'm simply so busy.
Right.
But I think there are attorneys who would be very moved by the inhumanity of what is happening, and so I would suggest they not be so afraid at the cost for an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, an attorney would ask at least that they pay the filing fee for bringing an action.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also try to attempt to recover this the cost of the fees. But when you find that government is simply not responding as one would want, then the courts are available, and it may be another avenue that they can check on. Flipping, I'm seeing violations occurring in many different places,
right.
And all you want is an injunction and perhaps a permanent injunction over the activities that is affecting the quiet enjoyment and the livelihood of these people.
Okay. Well,
so thank you for taking my call.
No, thank you. That's the whole purpose here. It's not just a radio show. We want some solutions, and there are real people being impacted.
Okay. Good luck to you and to all of them.
All righty. Thank you. And if you are out there and you have some background in legal ease or know how to write letters, or you a legal clerk or an attorney, please, you can call us here at 524-1080, or you can call here and get my cell number, 782-6627, and I will connect you with the community or the tenants in that complex. We have Steve on the line. Steve, are you there? You want to comment on the spray painting?
Yeah, my comment is that I experienced this before, but it wasn't a company. It was a house was being sprayed, being repainted with spray, and the spray had blown over onto my car.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did, I just called my insurance company for the damages, and they investigated and went and got my car repainted. And through my insurance, of course, I had a deductible, but they went and recovered the rest from the spraying company who are painting the house next door.
I see.
And if these cars really have residual spray on it, it ends up like sandpaper, and you can't get it off, and you don't want to use any solvents to take it off because it will damage you finish, the first thing I would do is for anybody who has spray damage on the car to call the insurance company if they have insurance.
And they can address, they can get that address through that, huh?
Yeah, and secondly, there are lawyers up there. If there's health results to people breathing in the toxins from the spray, they can go maybe call an ambulance, take chase it like Michael Green, and he might take the case on contingency and sue, and it would be of no cost to the people if they lose a case in court.
Well, I can tell you right now, if I was Michael Green and I heard someone referring to me as an ambulance chase in this conversation, I'd be the last place I would call. So I don't share your description of that, but I do understand what you're suggesting, and that is
there are ambulance chasers out there.
Oh, I'm sure there could be described as many things, but in this case,
I've seen them taking cases where you wondered how will this person ever pay him.
Yeah, but if I'm hungry and begging you for food, I'm dang sure not going to insult you. So you just keep
that in mind. Anyway, you understand what I'm first saying. Go see your insurance company. If it's damaging the apartment, spray is getting on the apartment owner should also seek damages by his insurance company.
Okay.
That'll start the ball rolling. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Steve, and always good to hear from you. Yeah, well, my personal experience, and I absolutely have admiration for Mr. Michael Green, because the problem is that you take this situation here. There are people that are as innocent. There are children. There are elderly people that are ill, can't fend for themselves. And thank God for Michael Green. And however he gets to the scene, thank God that he arrives there, because our government is failing us. And this is the perfect example. Now they scamper because they heard it was going to go on the show today. That shouldn't be the reason. They should do it because it's their what's right. Jamie, you there?
Yeah.
What else can you add to this to let the listeners know? One of the things I was concerned with, and as Steve pointed out, this serves like a little fine grit paper, right? Now imagine a little child breathing that in. Getting in their lungs, getting in their sinus tract, or in their, you know, in their throats and what have you. You know, it's a fine, it's gritty, and not to mention the toxins that's also associated with it. And then there's metal flakes, right? They're sanding and what have you, and also some cars have fiberglass or other substances. But anything else you have to add to that?
No. Please, somebody help us.
Yeah.
Help us resolve the problem. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, so what I'll do, if we get any calls, anybody out there that is interested, you can send us an email at carol@carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com. And you can send me an email, and we'll take any assistance, and I'll steer to these people. And Jamie, you're available, that I will get you that information, and I will continue to keep asking letters. And within the next week, I hope to report back to the listeners out there, and that we got some relief, that you and the children there and the seniors that are there.
I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, I didn't see, and I haven't seen anything that would justify this treatment, other than the fact that some are low income, some of us speak their different ethnic background, and we all should be provided the same and afforded the same protection as they would want in Kahala, Hawaii Kai, or Black Point, anywhere. And this person is not going to stand by and watch it happen. So having said all that, I'm going to ask Dr. Fukino. And one of the other things that I learned is that even though this letter states it's from Dr. Fukino, I'm told that it was just rubber stamped by one of the staff. So I'm also just really concerned with her actions as to how things have, with this Department of Health, and how it treats issues such as this under her watch. She's been the administrator, and for the period of time that she, I've seen some horrendous behavior on the part of these agencies, where they simply, that comment where the lady said she called and they told her Nakanishi was a nice guy.
Yes. See,
I don't have any cause to not believe that, because that is the same argument that I'm presented with when I contact the state. Well, you know, he's a nice guy and he formed this company with his own hard work and what have you. We're not here assessing how people, how nice they are. We're how they negatively impact others. And if they're unfair, if it's not wrong, if they're not affording others their rights or infringing on those, it's up to us to make a statement and ask that they do what's right. So anyway, do you think you want to contact Rockham? If so, I'll contact you later.
Sure.
And as I say, if there's any legal clerks out there, here's a community that don't have a lot of money, but they have a big desire to be free of smelling fumes, and you'd have to see it to believe it or smell it to believe it. It's I wouldn't wish this on any community, on anybody. So, Jamie, thank you for calling in, and keep in touch, and I will be contacting you soon. And I hope that the listeners out there will show a little kindness and help rally around this. This is very, very sad. And there are some children there that did absolutely nothing other than just be tenants there, and they should be free of that. And I think there's some solutions here. I don't look to shut him down, but if it's going to impact this community, I think that if that's the solution, that's the solution to the pollution, I guess. Okay, well, thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, sir.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Again, this is the Carol Cox Show, and you can pick this up on podcast at carolcox.com, carolcox.com. If you are out there and you have similar situations that you see or experiencing, please don't hesitate to call us here at KWAI 1080. That's 524-1080, and it is not KWAI. It is the Carol Cox Show that is actually putting this on. So if you are aware of something and you hope to get results, we don't promise you anything, but please feel free to call. And I'm just astounded at how the ball was dropped here. And again, I will repeat, Senator John Oakland, and folks, what we got to do, we got to start asking our legislators and our city councilmen and anybody, an appointed official, that if you take the job, stamping a letter and sending it to me, I write you a letter as a senator, and you in turn take that letter and attach it to a cover letter that you say my constituent has written me and asking about this, and then you represent that this is what you've done as a legislator. That's simply not going to cut it. And that's where our government is failing us. And when you call, this is a matter that has gone on over a year and a half. And the senator, Suzanne Chan Oakland, should appoint someone on her staff to follow up on these things and not just accept a rubber stamp letter and leaving the community to fend for itself. So, you know, if this is how you treat, and it's not just Senator John Oakland, I would say 90% of the legislators and city councilmen treat the communities just this way. Of course, unless they have money or influence. Well, this community doesn't have money, don't have influence, but they have a voice. And so we hope to make sure that their voice is heard. Anyway, next week we're going to have members from the African American Association, Lawyers Association, and we're going to be talking about Mr. Rex Johnson and the matter there, and we're going to be talking about how Governor Linda Lingle and Senator Colleen Hanabusa, Representative Calvin Say, and others knew or should have known that there were racist remarks in his emails. And I think we have a great bit of information. And if you'd like to see the emails, by the way, that have been the racist ones, You can go to, again, Carol Cox at carolcox.com. I hope to educate all of you out there. Racism is present here. Racism does exist, and it will exist if we all sit around and excuse and rationalize. All we have to do is acknowledge it, beat it back, and it's done. Thank you again, Carol Cox. Aloha.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.